Not long ago, at the Glasgow UN Climate Summit, two of the world's biggest greenhouse gas emitters, China and the US, pledged to increase cooperation on climate action. In back-to-back press conferences, the two countries said they'd work together to accelerate emissions reductions needed to slow global warming. Here's the US Special Presidential Envoy for Climate, John Kerry.
Let me be clear. This declaration is a step that we can build on. The statement lays out important steps on CO2 emissions as well, including the need to accelerate using best efforts by all of us to phase down unabated coal in this decade as fast as is achievable.
That's John Kerry speaking in Glasgow just a few hours ago. It's hoped the announcement will be a shot in the arm for the climate talks as negotiations wrap up this weekend. Simon Bradshaw is the research director with the Climate Council. He joins us now. Simon, hello there.
Good morning, Fran. Good to be with you.
Simon, how significant is this announcement by China and the US, this joint announcement, to work together to keep global warming below the Paris target of 1.5 degrees? That's easy to say, but is there any flesh on the bones of this?
Look, this is a big deal. And I think one of the big fears going into Glasgow is that we would find China and the US at loggerheads. But in fact, what we've seen in this statement is them saying very clearly, look, we're going to focus on collaborating on climate change. We're going to do this despite our other differences. And the thing that really stands out in this statement that's so important is the focus on accelerating action this decade through the 2020s. That's what Glasgow's all about, because that's what we have to do if we're to keep 1.5 degrees alive. And that seems to be the memo that the Australian government has missed, because it's the one country, pretty much alone among developed countries, that didn't come here with a stronger target for 2030. And this is just another sign that the world is moving and we're being left further behind.
Well, we spoke to Trade Minister Dan Tehan a little earlier on the program, who was again repeating the government's line about Australia meeting and beating the targets. And as the Prime Minister announced in our formal contributions there at Glasgow, Australia is sticking to its pledge of 26 to 28% emissions cuts by 2030, but Australia will in fact already book a 35% cut in emissions. So it's exceeding that. Does this joint statement from the China and the US put significant pressure, do you think, on Australia to come back next year with a formal increased target for 2030?
It does, absolutely. And it builds on what is already considerable pressure on Australia, because the Paris Agreement is absolutely clear. Countries need to come with their highest possible ambition, because that's what the science compels. That's the only thing that is going to avoid a real catastrophe in the future. And Australia came into Glasgow as the worst performing among developed countries. We were almost alone in not increasing our 2030 target. The entire group of seven had committed to at least halving their emissions this decade. And the sooner Australia does that, the sooner we can be unlocking the enormous opportunities that we're sitting on with renewable energy, with clean industries. And when you have the US and China, the two biggest emitters are the two most powerful countries in the world, saying that they're going to accelerate action together. That's just going to grow these markets for whether it's green steel or renewable hydrogen or other clean exports. These are opportunities that Australia is so well poised to tap into. But we're just holding ourselves back at the moment, and we have to at least catch up with the rest of the world if we're to grasp those opportunities.
Words are cheap, though. I mean, it's been there was a lot of regret expressed the fact that President Xi Jinping did not bother to come to the summit, the climate summit. He gave a pretty brief statement, wasn't even a video statement. And as many have pointed out, actions perhaps speak louder than words, that China did nothing to increase its net zero by 2060 pledge. It was hoped that it might put more ambition in there. And China is, of course, currently building a number of new coal-fired power stations. In fact, there's plans, I think, for hundreds more over the next decade. So, you know, was there any detail here from China in terms of how it will match these words with actions?
Look, China is shifting, not fast enough. But look, any argument for China to do more is just that. It's certainly not an argument for Australia to do less. But what we have seen since Paris is that pipeline of coal projects in China start to shrink. We've seen China, which is already the largest investor in renewable energy, just ramping that up even further, and in doing so, driving down the price of renewables globally. So Does China need to do more? Absolutely. I mean, all countries are going to have to step up their actions this decade, and the draft decision, this final negotiated outcome we're going to see from Glasgow, asks for just that, and particularly it calls on those countries, including Australia, that didn't come here with a stronger commitment to come straight back next year with a stronger one. We have to see.
What about the significance, though, of President Xi Jinping not bothering to come? You know, I noticed that Barack Obama made much of that. Our Prime Minister has made much of that. Plenty of leaders have.
Well, look, around 130 countries stepped up with new commitments going into Glasgow. China, in the lead up, going back to last September, essentially called time on fossil fuels with its net zero commitment, as have now all the big economies of Asia.
Yeah, but theirs is net zero by 2060. We have net zero by 2050, but we are still highly criticised.
Look, we need to achieve net zero emissions globally by 2050, or in fact earlier. Yeah. Now, Australia is a very wealthy developed country. It's built a lot of its wealth off fossil fuels. It's got immense capacity to be reducing emissions now and moving to clean energy. The truth is that countries like Australia have to act ahead of the rest of the world. And the best way for us to be driving global action, and that's so essential for protecting Australia communities, it's so essential for securing our own future prosperity and security, is we've got to get on the front foot. Because right now, the rest of the world is leaving us in the dust. And that cost for Australia is going to start being measured not just in loss of international standing, but actually in economic costs as more countries start imposing border tariffs, as more countries join that race and to be transitioning to renewable energy. So it's so squarely in our national interest to be going harder and going faster. And really, Glasgow is coming down to a fight to limit warming to 1.5 degrees. And if Australia is going to resist some of what's in that final decision, you have to ask, whose side are we on? Are we on the side of the Pacific and Australian workers who want to be able to prosper from new industries, or really what are we doing?
Simon, what's the reaction to the draft declaration from the summit that was released late yesterday? It's calling on a number of things, one for countries that haven't increased their ambition to 2030 to come back next year and do so, but also calling for countries to accelerate the phasing out of coal. There's no timeline on that. What do you think of the draft declaration as it stands? Is it tough enough, and do you think it will stand? What do you think will survive from it?
It's the first time we've actually ever seen a decision or draft decision out of a COP call explicitly for phasing out coal and for phasing out fossil fuel subsidies. It might seem a no-brainer, but actually having that language in there is a big deal. And quite ironically, as that was being released, the Australian government was putting out this new legislative package for the Clean Energy Finance Corporation that would see a lot more money going into carbon capture and storage and prolonging the life of the fossil fuel industry. So we really are swimming against the current there. It's important that language is in there. I think to Australian eyes, it's very significant, and I expect this will survive in the final decision text, that those countries that didn't step up their commitments coming into Glasgow, including Australia, have to go back, have to do their homework, have to come back with better.
You think that will survive?
It's calling on all countries. Look, one thing that's felt different at this COP is Australia is very much on its own. We're not entirely on its own, but it's in a small minority of countries still dragging its heels. We don't have the Trump administration to hide behind anymore. You've now got the US, the UK, the Europeans, the small island developing states, all these blocks really going for it, trying to pull the rest of the world along with them. Australia's going to have a tough time getting some of these important measures knocked out of there. And there's real determination for this COP to be seen as the end of coal, first of all. Also, even though the commitments here aren't enough to get us on that path to limiting warming to 1.5 degrees, that the decision actually does set us off on a decade of truly transformative action. And there's more momentum here than we felt at previous COPs.
Okay.
And I think the message to Australia is very clear. We've got to come back and do better.
Simon Bradshaw, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Simon Bradshaw is the Research Director with the Climate Council, joining us from Glasgow.